Uravian. Never was there a more devious schemer in the hosts of Hell. When I contracted him to train my armies and maintain my protection, I'm sure he doubted he would ever be in service to me for so many centuries. So he bides his time and waits, hopes for an opening, and one may have arisen for him.
Hey everybody, it's time to roll for intent. I'm your GM Trevor, and it's almost the end of January. This has been the slowest goddamn January for me on record. I feel like it's been January for 4 months.
It's been a very, very slow month.
Yeah, complete and total opposite over here. This month has gone by very quickly for me.
It's not even over. You still have a full day.
I know, right? It's been machine gun fire just back and forth.
I think I wish it had gone slower. Tomorrow is my birthday, and I was really not looking forward to this one.
Why is it? Because you're going to be 27?
26, but yeah.
What a baby.
I know,
oh, wow. But like, yeah. You know, life's over. I cap off the day with a suicide. That's about all you can do.
Just kill yourself.
I know it's not a big deal, but like, I just looking like back at the first half of my 20s. God fucking damn it.
I was 26, and that's the year we had Liam. So that's
it. Don't tell me about that.
And I know,
I was also a homeowner for 2 years at that point.
Fuck you.
Just shut the fuck up. Just like, I'm sorry, I was too busy being in the eighth grade to go buy a home then. Fuck yourself. How about that?
Whatever, man. I was getting good. Sounds like a skill issue.
I was already a homeowner. You had already owned a home before that home.
No, I didn't. That was my first home. I bought it as a USDA rural development loan. So kids out there that want to actually buy a house. It's a fantastic way to do it because it's like no money down. It's backed by the USDA. There's no PMI, nothing. I went zero money down, bought a foreclosure, and made like 80 grand when I sold the thing 4 years ago, 4 years later.
Trevor, fantastic. You knew how to do that at 26. I like barely remembered to renew my license this month.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Micah can't stop the fire alarm from beeping, so.
Correct, yeah.
It's true. Oh, God. It's so true.
We already talked about my driver's license, right? We talked about that on
Wait, what? No, I don't think so.
Why would we talk about your driver's license?
I don't know. I feel like
you've never
about
had
this.
To get a driver's license.
I've never had to get a new driver's license. So it got taken from me the other day. So I'm 30 and I got my driver's license when I was 16 and they've never made me take a new picture. So my picture looks, I'm 16 years old in the picture. And
look exactly the same.
I don't look anything the same. I've somehow gotten whiter and I now have a beard and I don't know. It's
all that privilege you getting to work inside doing comedy.
Yeah, seriously. And the other day I was at a show and they were like, hey, they were like, you get free drinks when you are on the show. And I'm like, hey, I just want to grab a drink. And they're like, cool, let me see your ID. And then they're like, and I hadn't gone on stage yet. So they were like, okay, like what's like, I haven't seen you perform yet. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm just going to get a drink. And I hand him my ID and he's like, first off, this isn't even you. And second off, I don't even know if you're one of the comics, so I'm taking this. And I was like, can I have my fucking ID? And they're like, well, this is a fake. And I'm like, it's not if that's me. It's me. I don't know how to explain that it's me. And he took it the whole time. And it was this huge ordeal for me to get it back. I was very upset.
He sounds like a dick.
Did get it back, though? Because that sounds like I would be like, all right, I'm going to press charges. Like, you just freaking stole my fucking license, you piece of shit.
Yeah, I love people like that.
I went on stage and performed and then got off stage and I was like, hey man, can I get my ID back? And he was like, nah, I already gave it to management. And I was like,
go get it back.
Can I talk to them? Yeah. I was like, can I talk to management then? And then the booker of the show walked up and was like, what's going on here? And I was like, they took my ID because they don't think I'm Raymond Montoya. And they're like, get his fucking ID back. And I got it back, luckily. But that's how much I don't look like my ID picture. They literally, every single time, this isn't like, they don't always take it, but every single time they'll be like, this isn't you. And I'm like, yes, it is.
Oh, man. Just, period up until I got my license photo retaken when I turned 26, like Micah probably will have to do or already did if he's smart. For that 5 year period, that's when I grew my hair out, you know, started growing my hair. It was at my 21st birthday. So I got my license photo taken and I still had short hair. And ever since then, every time, you know, in between then and when I got my license photo retaken, I would always go to like liquor stores and stuff in Lansing, and the man behind the counter would just like do that thing where he like looks down, looks at me real quick, you know? And like, I look similar enough. I just got longer, but they have to do that double take. But
You know, I like this.
I look homeless, I think, in my driver's license photo. I don't know if it'll pick up on the camera.
Yeah, grab mine.
Oh, you can't. There we go. That's just so bad.
You look like
it's so bad. Like,
why do you have such a vacant stare? Is like, what is that?
You look like a missing child photo.
Yeah, no, it looks like that should be on a milk carton.
That picture was taken when I was 26. So that is a 10-year-old photo.
Oh, yeah.
And I just turned 26. It was right after we moved. So I was right after we moved to Houston, and I got off of work and I met Sarah at the DMV, and it was a long day. I was on site and it was like a dirty site and stuff, and my hair was just a mess, and I just whatever. I figured, all right, well, whenever they renew my photo, my license, I'll just take a new photo, right? And it was during COVID, so they just used the same photo and sent me a new license.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm gonna look good for my North Carolina license photo. I'm gonna actually like brush my hair and shit.
See, my license photo now very much looks like me.
Yep, unmistakable.
Mine
yep.
Also, this is the most douchey California thing ever. I came from the beach, so I brought a collared shirt with me to the beach, and from here, from nipples down, I'm wearing a wetsuit and I'm just sopping on the DMV floor. I was like so drenching the DMV floor, and then I just threw a collared shirt over it. And yeah, this is
that doesn't look anything like you. I understand completely now.
If I can do it, do side by side, yeah. It looks nothing like me.
Yeah.
No, like not at all, man.
So they took it and I was like, fucking kidding me? This is amazing.
You know, were you? Yeah. Did you used to wear braces, Raymond?
I did have braces. I had braces in this photo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I figured. Yeah. That's actually a big deal, the way your facial shape changes.
Okay, so this is braces. All actually starting to make sense. Like the piece of shit, whoever we're looking at, who stole this poor Raymond Montoya's identity. I mean, because those people look nothing alike.
Yeah, right? This is the real Raymond Montoya.
Eight different shades of skin tone different.
Yeah, see,
oh my God, this is the origin of evil story. This is the nexus point. You aren't Raymond Montoya. You killed Raymond Montoya.
I absorbed his identity.
In the desert of California somewhere, and you came out another man.
This is a Star Trek Mirror Universe episode.
Yeah, so I think the that's fucking crazy. I mean, I was like, man, that guy's kind of an asshole, but I mean, I might have to retract that statement, man. Now. It doesn't. Yeah. I
mean, he's not an asshole. He's genuinely evil.
The bartender's did his job. This is what he did.
I was kind of being like, oh, that guy's kind of a dick. And then I saw that photo. I'm like, oh, man. Man, you are like two of that kid put together in age now, and it doesn't look anything like you.
You look like the human personification of a puka shell necklace in that picture.
Exactly, that's exactly it. I literally put my surfboard in the corner. I was like, where can I park this?
Oh,
I was like,
God.
Put it in the corner of the DMV. Yeah, because I lived at the beach at that age. So,
just another thing for the six people who still listen to our show and the rest of my castmates. I learned earlier today, while I was watching a video about like the history of the TV show Breaking Bad, because for some reason there's a bunch of YouTube shorts made by like 14-year-old like teenage boys who are really into Andrew Tate, where they like personify Walter White as the like most red pill based idea of masculinity. So I watched some video on that. It was like debunking this, or not even debunking, but like just lampooning that this is the moment Walt became Heisenberg, like kind of meme. And it was going over that scene where he fucking throws the fake meth in Tuco's office and blows it up and makes him think he's real insane and everything, right? And all that glass falls and it's all slow-mo there. Apparently, in that slow motion, when that air conditioner is falling out of the window and all that broken glass is falling, for some reason, the sound engineer for that episode of Breaking Bad decided to sneak in the Dean scream from Howard Dean's 2003 presidential campaign.
Whoever's editing this, could we drop a clip of that in right now?
I'll just. I don't know. That was pretty good, Jake. That was
that was really good. That was good, Jake.
Dude, you gotta imagine taking every state you didn't win in the Iowa caucus.
And then we're going out to Michigan and we're gonna take back the White House.
Yeah! So yeah, that's just in there. You can go listen to that now. I'm not fucking with you. It's there. And once you realize it's there, you can't unhear it. It's so fucking funny to me.
I'm gonna throw a YouTube link in the description. Link in the description of this episode so people can go look at that. Cause I was incredulous, and then like before they even said where it was, I was listening for it. I'm like, I can't unhear that. There'll be no way I can ever watch that scene again and not hear Howard Dean.
Yep.
I don't know how I never noticed it either.
They stuck it in really well. Like, if you're not listening to it, you're not going to hear it.
Yeah, it's not like they like pitched it up or down either. They didn't modulate it. It's just the raw Dean scream, but just quiet. Yeah. Like, it's just kind of quiet.
And for what it's worth, that episode came just to think about how long ago this was. That was for the 2004 general election. That was the primaries for the 2004 election. That episode of Breaking Bad was released 4 years later. So those of you that remember watching Breaking Bad when it came out, feel old.
Not
me. God, that was a long time ago.
Trevor, I remember watching Elf as a kid. I don't need that to feel old.
I'm not talking about you, dude. We know.
Like, Jake's like, what the fuck is Elf?
No, I know. Wait, what does Elf he know is. What to say? I fucking know what Elf is. Come on,
man. If Elf was around now in the age of Don't Fuck with Cats, we'd have a problem.
Okay, what's Elf?
No, you know what Elf is. That's a joke.
I don't know what Elf is.
Micah, no. Oh,
right. My God, why are you on this show?
You don't know Alf?
Is this more children's media?
No.
This was a prime time five. Yeah, this was prime time Friday night. Like,
was Alf a Jim Henson creation?
I don't believe so. Actually,
I don't think so.
His nose is far too phallic to be a Jim Henson creation.
Yeah, right. Seriously,
Alf was a sitcom television show. I don't remember the decade, so I'm not going to quote it because then I'll be made fun of. But it features an alien puppet.
86 to 90.
Eats cats, and if I recall, gold was so prevalent on their planet, it was like a fuel source.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, no wonder I didn't watch this. Like, it's another animatronic puppet thing that would have freaked me out as a kid. It's not an animatronic, but it's a weird, freakish puppet. Yeah.
Micah, also canonically not a fan of Five Nights at Freddy's.
No, I don't like it.
Oh, okay.
I was actually surprised that it was better than I thought it would be.
Micah, how do you feel about Chuck E. Cheese in general?
I think it's kind of gross. And I went there like once as a kid and never again.
I may be there on Saturday. One of my daughter's friends has a birthday party. I may be at Chuck E. Cheese on Saturday, apropos of nothing. Just very
I know
odd
I've already said it on this podcast, but I feel the need creatures. To say it again, that Chuck E. Cheese, the E stands for entertainment.
Yep.
Charles Entertainment Cheese. Yep. Rat Casino for Wayward Children.
Chucky is a nickname for Charles, and nicknames are for friends, and Charles Entertainment Cheese is no friend of mine.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. Incredible.
This has gone a very strange place.
Can we get Micah a picket sign and just get him out in front of a Chuck E. Cheese? That would be amazing.
Chuck E. Cheese, unfair.
Charles Entertainment Cheese in there.
I haven't watched that episode of SpongeBob in a long time.
No, it's all right.
Hey there, podcast listeners. It's your GM, Trevor, here. It's been a bit since I did one of these, but I figured with 2023 coming to a close, it's probably time. Whether you've been here since day one, you binged our whole collection in a week, or if this is your first time you've downloaded an episode, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Now, it's been a while since I've asked y'all for anything, but it being Christmas and all, we do have one thing you could do for us that would mean the world. Take 2 minutes and jump into your podcast app of choice and leave us a review. Stars are fine, words are amazing. That is the number one way for us to reach more people. If only 5% of you dropped a review on iTunes, Podchaser, Spotify, or wherever, we would reach so many more people. If you haven't done so yet, drop on by the Discord, wolferintent.com/Discord. Now, let's get back to the show. Well, last week, the party weird shit's been happening, right? So we found out that Doriana is kind of on the verge of being possessed by some denizen of Lang that is presumably in the Gauntlet. You think you might have a way of locating it. Lucas Kastner came back from Gauntlet, having parlayed with a devil named Yerevian, who wants Carmen Rajani. And in return, he said he would stop some of the worst stuff from coming out of the Gauntlet. And the party did a little bit of a shopping trip. I think we just said we were going to do that off air. And that's pretty much how we ended. They went and did a little bit of shopping before they made their way over to the Crow's Casks, because it's finally time to make their way back into the Gauntlet. So, gentlemen, you are back. Not the Crow's Casks, the Rowdy Rockfish. I made the same mistake that Raymond did at the end of last episode. You're all at the Rowdy Rockfish. Brelda is there making you breakfast. Lazda is trying to put some beard wax in his very short beard. He's still growing back, but you know, he's a dwarf. It grows back pretty quick. His like 3-week beard is the same as my 14-year beard. It seems to be a pretty jovial atmosphere in the Crow's Casks. Granted, they probably aren't aware of the fate of Gola Khan. They didn't really know him. But the rest of you face the prospect of going back into the Gauntlet, where so many of your comrades have fallen, to chase down something that seems to be predating a child in the town. And then you have this issue with the devil. You know, not the devil, but Yerevian the devil. What are we doing?
Did we decide last session whether the guy Yasonclear who was possessing Doriana was a more pressing danger than Yerevian?
I feel like they're on the same level of the Gauntlet, are they not?
Not sure.
Or I guess we're just assuming.
Know that.
Huh?
You wouldn't know that yet.
Okay. Yeah.
So my thought as Malleus, right, if I'm trying to throw myself into my character's head, is it would be a lot more difficult to deal with Yerevian with this like unknown factor of Yasonclear just existing somewhere in the Gauntlet. We also don't know what adverse effects would come of the mayor losing his daughter, and we don't need more shit happening to him.
Also, like, we can track Yasonclear with the gem.
Yeah, we have like a more direct way of dealing with him. The other thing though is that like does Tacitus like spend the night studying or like recalling memory, or do we know of any way that we can have an edge on the denizen of Lang? I feel like that's something we already talked about, but I don't remember what the result of that was.
I gave you some stuff about weaknesses and things.
Okay. That's definitely something that would be up Tacitus's alley or even Esmordrin, and he could inform us.
Yeah, I was going to say, I swear I remember. Was there something about fast healing? I remember we had a discussion, but it might have been off air about like, you know, targeting fortitude over reflex and things like that for just getting some prep stuff out of the way for like, you know, for Billiam grab instead of trip, because the art showed it looking very agile and wielding a kukri and an agile weapon. So I feel it's far more dexterous than fortuitous.
I think we did discuss that it had immunity to cold as well. So are you going to make your way back to the Gauntlet? You going to do a little more prep work?
Yeah, I should look at my spell book really quick. Well, other people talk about what they'd want to do. You said Malleus was talking about buying something. We can edit this part out, but you said Malleus was talking about buying something, and I, for the life of me, cannot remember what that would have been.
I don't think you were actually talking about buying something. I think it was you were just talking about your spellbook.
Okay. Yeah, I do remember talking about that. Malleus just wants to. Because I've had like vampiric touch sitting in my fucking spellbook, waiting for that to be useful, and then we just keep fighting like undead. So that doesn't really do a whole lot. So I wanted to switch that out and take a different spell for my third level spell slot besides fireballs. Fireball's useful. You can always light stuff on fire. Except maybe this devil. He might not care about fire that much.
Devil fire. Yeah.
So that being said, I think that's just what Malleus's goal or his desire is at the moment, is to just eliminate all unknowns and take care of Hassan Khalir so that, you know, the town doesn't become more unstable, or that this guy doesn't prove to be in the way of us dealing with Erevian later.
All right.
So I think we should just, we need to just get back down to the god. Like, we don't know what we're going to find, what order. So at least for this denizen of Lang, we sort of have an idea of how to track it. The other stuff, it seems more happenstance if we come across it or not.
I agree. But Lucas did mention a spiral staircase that we could follow to get to Erevian. Just something to keep in mind as we're trekking down there. But yes, I agree. We should go after Hassan Khalir.
Malleus will sit with his hammer down, so his handles in his hands like this, cupped. And he'll say, how good of an idea do you think it is to have diplomacy with the devil? It may be better than fighting him, but we know how devils can be.
Well, honestly, it seems most of the devils we've faced, they've had a contract keeping there, and so far we've found all of the contracts, so I really don't see why we would not be able to proceed in the same manner.
God damn it. I think Carmen Rajani has something to do with that guy's contract, then. It's probably related to, like, the bloodline of whoever slayed Belcor or something like that. Like, they have to serve until it's over, so he wants to kill him. I'm just guessing. It's a wild guess, but that sounds like some
fantasy
shit. I'm
going to give you 2 hero points for that.
Ooh, nice. That's a thought.
Oh, man, I'm retiring.
Retiring at the top of his game.
Oh, man, I can't top it after that. Like, I need to be done. Wow, okay. All right. So, hearing after you say that, like, oh, we've come across other devils and they have contracts binding them here. And all we had to do is just fulfill it and they could leave. Malleus will posit, I'm willing to bet, I think, that this Carmen Rajani has something to do with keeping this devil in service here. If they've all been amenable to some kind of help and they're looking for a loophole out of their contract, it's very possible that he's trying to do the same thing. Did we or did we not come across some kind of library that had a bunch of documentation? Is it possible that maybe this creature's contract is also there?
We found contracts, but I think we've distributed those out. We've freed all of the devils for the contracts we found. We didn't find any others, not that I know of.
Something to keep in mind. I personally could give less of a shit about what happens to this Carmen Rajani character, and from what I understand, none of you like him that much, so if this gets rid of another obstacle on our way to Belcora in a more amenable manner to fighting him, I would be willing to do that, I think.
Are you okay, Malleus? You seem less raspy. You seem more reasonable. Did you get into the sauce again?
I'm just trying to be pragmatic.
But yes, I think, yeah, we have no problem sacrificing Carmen Rajani if it helps out this devil.
I think that may be the best course of action. Maybe we tell Lucas this when we see him again. We can formulate a plan to kidnap this drunk, awful man and sacrifice him to a devil. I am fully on board with this plan. And for what it's worth, I do still enjoy killing things. I just have also come to the realization that the last several encounters we've been in Belcora's lair have been rather dicey. And very, very close to not ending well for me. I'd rather not die twice. So maybe we move forward with a bit of caution.
Well, I think we're ready to go for the most part.
Right. Yeah, let's go fuck shit up.
I agree. Let's go.
I will gather my compatriots, put my gnoll cloak on. I just forget how cool I feel like that looks. Just walking around a full plate armor with like a leopard cloak. Whatever the fuck. The Cecil cloak. I always pictured him being like spotted orange and black, so I think that looks dope. I think also on the way to the gauntlet, I'm going to look down at Tacitus and ask him,
so, how was your night?
Well, Rain and I, we had something of a heart-to-heart. Told her how I feel. And we've reached an understanding. I'm aware of who she is, but at this point, I have no choice but to continue to help her. But at the same time, I can't judge her.
You seem very troubled by something.
It disturbs me.
Well, sure. I just want to make sure you're ready for what we're about to encounter. I do not know the capabilities of this denizen of Leng, but I need you to be at your full capability. And if there is something...
Can one ever be ready for this?
Perhaps. I was hoping, out of anybody, that you would have the most information and ability to keep us prepared. I'm looking to you to help us lead this charge. So if there is something that bothers you, that is keeping you upset, you should tell everybody.
Well, it all seems predetermined anyways. What does it matter?
I say it matters greatly. Fight fate and win. I did. Maybe it'll just take you dying for real to figure that out. By the way, who's holding on to that ruby? Am I still holding on to the ruby?
I believe
it's either
I had
you
it,
or Billiam.
And then I lost it.
And right, no, we already went through that whole
yeah,
arc.
Yeah, it reappeared, so you have it now, yeah.
Yeah, I did that whole thing where I was like, I was like doing that Palantir thing where I'm like, yeah, that's right, I know you're there.
Do you have the ruby?
Yes, I believe I do. I said check. As much. Oh, shit. Malleus will check his person upon thinking about having the ruby, because we need that. There's no reason I shouldn't have it. Do I not have it on my person?
You do not have the ruby on your person.
Malleus would do that thing right as we're hitting that bridge on the underside of town where you like suddenly realize you don't have your wallet. Yep. And he'll just start patting all over his body like,
Does Tacitus have it in his pocket?
None of you have it in your pockets.
Well, shit.
Somebody has stolen the gem.
Asmodian, check your mouth.
I kind of feel like it's probably just gone back to Mr. Griffey, where it normally ends up.
I ripped Mr. Griffey apart. There is no more Mr. Griffey.
It's actually not that hard to fix. It's just a stuffed animal.
We must go to the mayor's house.
Listen, we're going to go to the mayor's house if you guys don't stop me.
So you would
can
like
we just
to
let
go
him
to the mayor's
go?
House?
We really do need a means to track down your son, Kalia.
Yeah, we were really banking on that.
Yeah. Like, well, okay, technically in my notes I have that the doll was able to track it.
All right, well, let's go get this fucking doll. Like,
it's the ruby.
Okay, just want to make sure. Okay.
So the plan is that to take the ruby again that doesn't seem to stay. It just goes back to Doriana.
I will take the stuffed animal.
I don't think that'll matter. I feel like the ruby will just end up disappearing.
I will take the girl.
Wait, yes, what if we take Doriana with us into the Gauntlet?
Okay, I'll give you that. I think that would work. Yes, let's take Doriana.
But what if she dies?
If she dies, she dies.
It's a risk I'm willing to take.
Yes, it looks as if she's going to die. It looks as if she's going to die staying here, so...
I don't know. Don't you think she should face death head on, Billiam? I mean...
She's six, right?
Okay, I'm not the one killing her. I'm just saying.
I can't believe Billiam's the voice of reason here.
Phil's the only one with a kid being like, I would never send my kid into danger.
That's not true.
She's
at all.
Already in danger. We're not sending her anywhere.
You leave
in
them
fact,
at home
this is
alone
the best
with your vet,
to save her.
Weapons and a book of the dead.
True.
All right, yeah. We take our little detour. We'll go back to the mayor's office. I'll just give Stecken a curt nod and go towards the door. I already know where the fucking bedroom is. If I run into Osif, my plan will be to tell him that the gem used to track this thing doing this thing to his daughter probably keeps going back to the doll, so I'm going to take the doll. And then I do all of those things unless you decide there will be RP.
So yeah,
now.
We don't need to RP it. They willingly give you the doll. Doriana is still, looks like she's in a fitful sleep, drenched in sweat, tossing back and
gross.
Forth. But her Mr. Griffey
still
is
doing
on
that thing.
Her bed. Yeah. Mr. Griffey is on her bed. Looks brand new and pristine. You pick him up, he feels heavier than normal. And if you squeeze it just right, you can feel the ruby inside.
Son Kalir.
I will turn and address Osif and probably his wife in the same room and say,
I will return.
And walk out.
After he walks out, I'll look at them and say,
probably in about 25 minutes.
Sorry. Sorry again.
Right. So, we want a bat signal all the way back to Gauntlet?
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
How do you want to make it down to the level where you were? Do you want to walk all the way down? Do you want to walk in where that spiral staircase is? Do you want to teleport into the...
How is Mr. Griffey tracked during this? Like,
is
Malleus going to hold him in his hand? Or, I mean,
that is my goal. Like, I'm doing that funny thing where I say I have my hammer sitting nestled in my rib cage and under my skull.
It works like a wand of locate, and you can cast it once. I guess you can cast it twice as a wand, right? But then you could potentially break the wand capability. But locate only lasts for 10 minutes. So you get essentially a 10-minute tracker.
I think the first thing I want to do is I'll hold the doll in my hand. And I think just because I want to keep this character relevant, I want to check in on Boskrog, my horrible strider goblin creation. He's not a goblin, but midfoot, whatever. Diet goblin.
You're closer to a gremlin.
The taxonomy of fantasy games.
Sitting there in there, he looks like he has taken what was left of his throne and reassembled it into a crude chair that he can sit on with his spider butt. And he's like,
"Ah, Master Mania, I made a chair. Look, I can make things for you. Why have you left me for so long? It's been days. I'm hungry, you know. Won't you feed me something? Maybe him,"
points to Tacitus.
No, I would hardly say you.
"I apologize, Boss Scrog. I have been busy. Other things have taken my attention lately. But I came to check up on you and see your progress in cleaning up the library and this floor in general. You seem to have made great progress and constructed a crude throne for yourself."
"Yes, that only took a little bit of time, but if you go down to the library, I put all the things upright that hold the paper holders, and I can't read, so they're just in there. I think they're okay. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm not a smart Mifflin."
"That is good. I do not need you to be smart. I need you to be intimidating.
Roar!
You will only grow."
"Oh, that was very good. I felt that."
"Thank you. Thank you very much. You will only grow in power as I do. Believe me. And I fully intend on arming you and making you a more formidable foe to guard this level of my floor. Soon, the whole Gauntlet will be for me and you, by extension, to keep overwatch. But for now, continue to make this floor more habitable. And also," and then he'll walk over to that throne and stomp it in, "do a better job. You are capable. This will not do."
I don't even have proper tools. I put that together with my tears.
I made this one with my tears.
"You will find proper tools throughout the Gauntlet, Boss Scrog. You hereby have my permission to go to floors 1 and 2 and go through the Murloc's workshops and take what you need to make better supplies for yourself. One of these rooms will have to belong to you, for you will have more of my subordinates beneath you at some point in the future. And you will have to be ready. Do
yes,
better."
"Yes, I will do better. I have ideas. I have ideas."
And he scuttles off towards the north, towards the secret door that you had found, that goes from like Belcor's reading room on the first floor down to the Murlocs. And you can hear him echo sing-song. He's like, "I have ideas!"
He's going to be terrifying, guys. We forget he's like 10 feet tall right now. He's just really, really stupid. I'm going to teach that boy how to read.
You know, Jake, you're supposed to feed your pals in order to get them to do work for you.
You know, that is true. I had not taken into consideration at all his undead hunger, because skeletons are so fucking easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that also reminds me that there's that other just like random ghoul that we've left wandering around on that one floor down there, too.
Yeah, it happens to be a ghoul that likes to eat undead. So,
Whoop. Oh, that's something I would have to think about. Might have to go kill her, actually, now that I think about it. He can eat her.
Yikes.
Oh, that'll be a good side mission when we're done with the Sankalir. We can go kill the ghoul lady, and it'll feed Boss Scrog.
I mean, will Boss Scrog eat something that was undead?
I guess I'll have to ask him.
Right?
If not, I'll just kill Tacitus.
Nice.
All right. Yeah, I want to leave Boss Scrog then. And I kind of also was... was hoping to ask him if he had seen anything weird or if he had noticed anything while patrolling this floor, but...
Ideas!
I'd assume if it was really important, he would have told me. He seemed eager. So I will then turn to my party and say, where should we begin our search? This floor or farther below?
I believe we should go further below.
This floor is almost clear, I think. I think all that's left is some set of double doors down there on the south side.
There's actually a fair amount of this floor that you have not seen.
What?
Yeah, there is. There is a fair amount on this floor that you have not seen. There's a pair of doors on... There's two sets of double doors on the south western side. There. And there. Both of those places are places that you have not gone. And you did not really explore the area beyond the knife trap thing. Because there are more hallways you did not
go down. I said so. I said as much.
So, yeah.
I would have liked to have been there.
So what's the plan?
Oh, I believe that we should go down to the floor that had the traps, the one where we lost Golakan, the Colosseum and everything down there. Not Colosseum, but, you know, fighting pits. I believe that might be a good area to try hitting our locate gem inside of Mr. Griffey and see what happens. Unless there's anybody else has better ideas.
I feel like if we at least just go down the spiral staircase and use it, we'll kind of at least get an idea if it's that level or it's going to be lower.
My worry is if we take the spiral staircase, we'll run into Eurevian.
Just go down it immediately right there. I mean, unless you think he's standing right there. Eurevian? Hello?
It could be. We don't know.
Also, before we do go speak with Eurevian, if that is something that we plan to do, remember that one of the bargaining chips we also have is his hated enemy is currently locked in a room right now.
True.
Actually, before we use that bargaining chip, let's go double check and make sure our mummy friend is still stuck in our oubliette of garbage.
Oh, there's no way out of that. He's stuck there.
I
do not underestimate Trevor's ability to make up the most bullshit reasons for things to happen.
I mean, he was trapped there by a baton in a bed. I mean,
he has to do it. But yeah, can we go check real quick and just make sure our mummy friend is still locked in there?
I
would like to see if he's like simmered down, if he's like holding it against us or whatever.
Yeah, all right, he's willing to talk at this point.
Or if his mummy's cursed us.
I curse you!
All right, so you make
he's been
way
in timeout.
Into that room that has the big fireplace that you first saw the pitons jammed into the door and the bed up against the wall. And you don't hear anything coming from that room.
Who has a really good perception?
I have plus 10.
Okay, I have a plus 11.
Those are all going to be better than mine.
Okay. Unless as Mordrin,
his is like a plus
rather,
7.
I'm going to
plus 8 perception.
Okay.
Trevor, I seem to be stuck outside the walls, and I don't know how that happened.
I'm going to approach the door quietly and try to listen in on the other side. Rolling in Foundry. 7 for an 18.
You can't really hear anything come out of the door.
Unable to ascertain. Unclear.
The door's still closed. I mean, he's in there.
I would assume so. It could very well that he is not yet rematerialized.
It's true. It could have taken him several days.
Although I could have sworn that we'd like come by here before and checked on him and he was pissed.
I feel like it was 1d10 days. It could be a while.
Well, at least we know we have that bargaining chip.
When did that happen? Like two days ago? 3 days ago? I don't know.
All right, so Malleus has a new idea then if you guys... Well, now we already have the locate gem. We don't need to do that. I think we should just use it either on this floor or if you want to go down the staircase, I suppose. But I think he's probably not down there. I think the devil would probably have complete control of his lair of the gauntlet and probably would not tolerate a denizen of Lang being in it at all as a creature of law. So I think it's either here or above us, and this would be the best place to use it.
Christian, I think you had an idea related to the staircase as well.
Yeah, I just say if we go down one level and use it, if you think about it on a plane, we would know that if you, depending on how it works,
if we go down one level, it will have to tell us one of three things. It's either above us, below us, or on the same plane as we are. Where if we use it here, it's going to be pretty much either on this floor or below us, but that leaves a little more open to interpretation as to how far below us.
That's fair enough. Fair enough.
So we'll go do that then.
Okay. Yeah. Down one more level.
Okay.
Which there's stairs very close here that go down one level. We don't have to necessarily go over to the spiral staircase, and we've been down the stairs right here, I believe.
That's true.
Yeah, there are some stairs that you can go down there. All right, I just brought you down into the floor where you fought the Distraction. What do you like to do?
I'm assuming the giant worms aren't up there in the north.
Oh, no, they're not there. Sorry.
Okay. Probably ventured north. Ooh, there's doors over here, guys. There's doors to the east.
Well, do we want to try this locator thing and see how it works, or
go
to the doors?
Yes, before we go too much further.
Stand in the middle and see if it points north or east.
Or up or down. So
Mally's will pull out the Mr. Griffey doll and use the locate spell that is in its wand like capabilities.
Hold on a second. I just want to verify something before I'm like, oh, yeah, totally.
People yell at you. It doesn't work like that in the Discord.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what I'm trying to prevent from happening. Okay, so you are going to try to go ahead and cast the locate spell. And you do so, and you get a bright red line pointing down one level. And almost directly, a little bit east-southeast. I'm sorry, west-southwest.
So, let's follow it.
Southwest. All right.
Well, west-southwest. So, it's going to be kind of pointing in if I could get the drawing tools to actually friggin' work. Generally that way. But down. So, you see it.
Oh.
Pointing that direction, but then it just kind of goes into the ground.
Do we have another downward staircase back there?
Wrap around that way.
Seems like we got to go down more.
Yes. Should I read into the fact that you're drawing right over a staircase to the southwest?
That staircase is actually from above. When we held up in that room, Billiam followed one of those snake guys down here.
Oh, right.
It's probably why there's all this blood everywhere, because this is where that one that got cut probably went.
Yeah.
All right. You have a general idea, and you have 10 minutes of this working.
Do you guys want to try these double doors here immediately to our east? They seem to be heading south.
Let's take a look. I mean, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, see if they go down.
Much. All right. Might hurt a lot. We'll find out.
It could be very painful, yes.
I'd like to listen at the western door.
All right, give me perception.
Got a 16 for 26.
Silent as the grave. It's been a while since I've said that.
Must be safe, guys. Ka-chunk. Ooh, a hallway.
Hey, it's a long hallway, y'all.
It looks green and yellow and red in the middle of the hallway.
Can I...
And perfect. It's headed the direction we want.
Sure. Can I identify if there's anything dangerous about that mossy growth? Or whatever that appears
to
be.
Sure, give me a check of some sort. What do you want to check with?
Okay, I'm going to assume that's going to be an esoteric with a -2.
Absolutely.
Okay. Natural 1.
So that looks like a man-eating sentient moss that you want to stay well away from.
Fellows, I've seen one of these in my dreams.
11 times.
11 times. It would be very dangerous to walk over that.
Walk over what?
That moss over there. Do you see it? Down the hallway. You see where I'm pointing?
That bad.
It's awful.
That moss will eat a man.
It will.
As much as before walking it.
As much would be very, very
wait
careful.
Wait, when
will it start to eat me?
No, wait. I'm like this.
Oh dear.
I feel lied to, Tacitus.
What do you. Asmodra, careful. Asmodra, no.
Asmodra, don't do it. I see what you're doing. Billiam, you smart about this?
I think it's fine. I think he's crazy. It doesn't
seem. I think he's crazy.
Guys, don't do it. Please. Please.
I believe you are mistaken.
When does it start? Maybe it's sleeping. Hurry, quick, get across it.
Shit. And Tacitus is going to try to sprint over the deadly moss.
Bill looks at his feet like they're still there. And looks at Tacitus.
Oh, gods above, that was close.
Okay, so my feet stupid. Are starting to tingle a little.
There it is. I told you.
We almost didn't make it.
Correct. Thank you, Malleus, for understanding how grievous our situation was.
Indeed.
All right, so you reach this at the southern end of this hallway. There are two sets of double doors again. One to the immediate west and one to the immediate south.
To the west.
That's the way we need to go.
Open the door, Billiam.
Whoa. It's a big room full of sand.
It's a freaking Colosseum.
Yeah, so you open the doors into the sandy pit of the Colosseum arena. Dried blood from past combats form a crust over the sand spread across this arena's stone floor. Torches illuminate the floor in a bright light, but hardly reach the walkway, ringing the area high above. Two staircases lead up to this walkway, but a metal portcullis blocks each one.
Oh, look, that's where Golukan died. Mm. Right there.
I'm still getting over that, so to be gentle.
Yes, he was quite useful. I miss him greatly. Let's move on.
I don't know how long it'll take me to bud a new one, so maybe he'll be back. Kay. I don't know.
Are we going to walk west over the sand?
I don't think we can, right?
Yeah, you can.
Oh, we're not blocked by the portcullis, okay.
No, the stairs upwards are currently blocked by a portcullis, but they weren't before. It was very strange.
Hmm. I'll follow my team.
Anyone want to give me a perception?
There's a door to the north. Perception? Sure. Not good. 8 for an 18.
Nothing.
There is a door up here, though, guys.
What's, I rolled a 15. I think I have a plus 9, so that's a 24.
What's the locator want to say? What way?
As you move into this area, where Malleus is, if he's holding it, it's pointing almost directly down and to the south very slightly. So you could assume that you're directly above this thing. You have no idea how far above, but you are directly above him.
He is down. We must be directly above whatever he is. We must find all means downward.
Since you gave me a perception?
Yeah, I rolled a 15. I can't see what my bonus is. I think it's a plus 9, if memory serves me correct.
Yeah, plus 9. So
that's a 24.
As you're walking across, you toe hit several items in the sand, like it was left behind by things that had died or were fleeing, and you find three items. One of them looks like this tattered piece of armor. Looks like it's stitched together from bits of skin.
Ooh, okay.
You see a you find a sling of some sort, and there is a horn that you find as well.
I pick up the items and I will examine the skin armor and horn.
Okay. So the skin armor. Do you want to try to identify it with Arcana?
That is again a 15. And I cannot see that skill right now.
I thought that you had your character sheet open, you goober.
I tried to reload the page, and that was a bad idea, I guess.
I have a 27 for crafting identify for the armor, if needed.
Your arcana is a plus 13, so what'd you roll a 15? So you got a 28.
Yeah.
This is... You recognize it immediately. In fact, it almost calls to you. You feel an aura of necromancy coming off of it. This is what's called, what's known as ghoul hide. It's a plus 1 hide armor stitched together from pieces of ghoul skin.
It looks like Cecil.
A plus 1 item bonus to saving throws against disease and paralysis and makes you immune to paralysis by ghouls.
Ooh.
If you add a resilient rune to it, It increases your bonus to saving throws against disease and paralysis by the value of the resilient rune.
Hmm. I think I'll hold on to this.
How close are you to this thing, Tastus?
To which thing?
To Malleus and this armor.
I'm not a thing, but okay. just like looking at Malleus right now, where he is right now, I'm on the west side of the room, clear on the other side, next to Asmordran and Billiam.
As Malleus moves towards you, if he's holding this armor, it like hisses and snarls and stuff as it gets near you.
Wait, it doesn't like curse.
Okay, yep.
Wait, it's sentient? How's the armor hissing?
My tummy can
hisses
know.
And snarls back at it.
I think I'll hold on.
It does
this.
Not like him.
That's okay. Most things don't like him.
All right, so you also have a horn and a sling of some sort.
I'll see if I can identify the horn.
I'll go for the sling.
14 on the die for 29 for the horn.
Natural 20 on the sling.
Nice. Okay. Nice. So the horn is what's known as a horn of fog. It's a large ram's horn that is perpetually glistening with droplets of water. For two actions, you can activate it once per hour with an two action interact. You blow deeply into it, causing it to issue force a low blast and cast second level mist.
You can dismiss it.
Mist.
You can dismiss it by blowing it a second time using an interact action.
I don't know if you've ever seen it, but there's like some really old Marvel comic where Dr. Doom is tooting some horn or whatever, and somebody's trying to come off from the side of the panel, and they're like, no, wait, you can't. And he goes, fool, Dr. Doom does as he pleases, toot. And that's all I can think of. I have to find this image now. It's very funny.
As Mordrin, what you are looking at is known as a Caterwaul sling. It's a +1 strike.
But okay.
Wait, you did? I'm sorry. Malleus, this is what's known as a Caterwaul sling. It's a +1 striking sling that's made of a shiny brown leather with a single white thread interwoven into the cord. Once per day, you can use two actions to pull the white thread free, and you can whirl the sling in a high-speed circle, and it lets out an ear-piercing wave of sound. And everything within each creature in a 30-foot cone takes 46 sonic damage. The DC 21 fort save.
Hell yeah. Dude, Malleus loves all of these items. He wants them unless somebody else... Like, I really want the sling very badly. I will fight you for the sling, but... I also want that horn. I'll roll for it, though. We'll do this World of Warcraft style.
Okay, so you got those three items. They look like they were just kind of left by things that died in this room.
Yeah, full disclosure, I want to give this ghoul armor to Boss Grog.
Ooh, smart.
Because I don't think any of you guys are going to wear it. And I'm not. I'm in full plate, so.
I mean, I think Asmordran could wear it.
Is it hide?
Yes.
It is.
Yeah, it's not going to really benefit me because it's going to lower my dex cap, so I'll just stick with the leather for now.
Rock and roll.
All right.
Does anybody want the horn at all? Does anybody going to carry that and use it?
I don't particularly need it, and it doesn't like me anyways.
No, the armor doesn't like you.
The armor doesn't like you.
Mm-hmm. He uses a bow for his range.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Then, Malleus wants to hold on to all three of those items. If you can plop that on his character sheet, he will most definitely take those.
Think I did. Yes, I did. So you want to continue west into those other doors on the far western side?
Well, I don't see any other way to attempt to get down, so.
Mm-hmm. And with south-southwest, so. Keep going this way.
As you cross across the room, Malleus would note that it is the light is pointing more behind him.
Like so I said, it is down directly below us.
It is down, and it was directly below pretty much the center of this room.
Okay. I was correct.
All right. Well, you're at a door.
Open the door. Oh, I'm there. I opened the door. Ooh, a little... Oh, I shut the door.
By the way, that's the image I was talking about.
North or south?
Yep, you are in a hallway that's pretty much a mirror of the one that you walked through just a minute ago. You have a hallway going south and a hallway going north.
Ooh, we should go south more.
I agree.
Ooh, there's more doors.
There's another pair of double doors at the bottom.
Can you take me lower?
To the south.
To the south. The door's open. Oh, God.
Oh, shit.
I should never open the door so quickly, guys.
So you pop open this door, and it's a very disturbing room. There are stone walls that appear to glisten with fresh blood. Every surface. There's an Iron Maiden standing in one corner, and on another corner, there is a metal table that is bristling with nails. But the walls of this place just appear slick with blood. Inside of the room, you see a couple of your old buddy, the Z-Bob. What?
No, I remember that fucker.
Why?
Yep.
Why is he still here?
Well, no, it's just a Z-Bob. It's not the one that you're aware of, says Laren. It is just a Z-Bob. There's two of those. And there is also one of these bad boys, which I think you passed a check on him before to note this as a Barbazoo.
Oh, cool.
Ooh, not good, guys.
Barbazoo!
Not a fan.
Cool.
Hi. Sweet Bill swings the door open.
The Barbazoo regards you.
How dare you enter the sanctum? State your business.
We're looking for the denizen of Lang. We have business with him.
It is not my place to direct you. I am not an attendant of yours.
Well, then you probably shouldn't ask why we're here if you don't want the answer.
If you are not one of ours, you're one of theirs. Get him.
Theirs being your Revian.
And he refuses to respond.
I mean, honestly, do we look like one of theirs? I mean, we've got this.
And they move to attack.
So you have chosen death.
Right. I'm going to have to ask everyone to give me some happy dappy initiative rolls.
Oh, God, we actually get to hit something for once.
Oh, dear.
Hell
oh, dear.
He's going to get our initiatives and then we're going to finish it next.
All right.
All right, Billiam.
Okay.
Raimundo.
Bill got a 17 or a 27.
Oh, that's pretty good there.
Nice.
Yeah. Christian.
6 on the die for a 14.
Not as good at all. Tacitus.
It's pretty average for me.
12 for a 23.
Not bad. And Malleus.
Another 15 for a 24.
That is wild.
Right?
Hot. Alrighty. It's been a hot minute since you've had to fight any devils, isn't it? So, I did not expect you guys coming into contact with these goobers. So this is gonna be fun. All right, so this goober right here on the north side. So we've got two of these Z-Bub, which are like a fly baby thing, and one of these bearded devils, Barbazoos, as they're also known.
We remember Bug Baby.
Oh yes, they are definitely not fun. And it is going to cast a spell and simply disappear. Bye-bye. It fades away into nothing, and it's going to use an action to do something else. That is the end of its turn. Billiam, you're up, bud.
Well, this room is full of blood, and it looks spooky. I'm wondering if we go in it. Or if we just shut the door and made them come to the hallway.
That is a tactical decision you will have to make.
It is. I should have asked my friends before I opened the door what we wanted to do.
Shoulda, coulda.
I know. So this room, although it looks like it's covered in red wine, is it actually covered in blood or is it just what it looks like?
You would have to roll some sort of check to make sure. You would have to maybe come in contact with it. I will say that you smell blood in this room.
Okay.
Smells like blood, looks like blood. Chances
are... probably blood.
Yeah.
Devote all of your actions to finding it.
I know, to finding it. Get on the hands and knees, all fours and licks the floor.
Lick it. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Bill will take a step into the blood because Bill's like, this thing wants to hurt us. And I'm going to step in between my friends and danger. So does anything happen when Bill takes his first step into the blood?
Nah.
Blood room. Sweet. Okay, nah. So 5, 10, 15. Takes 15 steps towards the devil to the south. And I think I want to knock this thing over. I think I want to knock it over.
I'm going to assume that patrolling with your weapon out because we kind of always
I have a skill trait that when I roll my initiative, right, I pull my weapon out.
That's right.
So I have Halandra in my hands. As I roll my initiative, I'm going to step forward. And I'm going to try and knock this thing over. I'm going to do knockdown. I'm going to do a hit. If it hits, I'm going to trip him, get him on the floor. And my friends can come.
You do that.
All right, so this one is for the attack. This is at an NAN. I think it's plus 15. It says NAN on my Foundry,
all
so I'm
of
not
them,
sure what
they
this
still
is.
All say not a number?
No, only the first one. The second one is plus 10 and then plus 5, but the first one says NAN.
It's plus 15.
Is it 15? Okay. Perfect. All right, so this is at a plus 15. That is a 14 plus 15 for a 29.
That's a hit. Was that with Halandra or with the Morningstar?
That is with Halandra.
Okay, yeah, you're good.
I don't have the Morningstar. I'm not whipping out the Morningstar yet because I don't know. And I didn't say it. So not doing it. Should I do damage first or should I roll for the trip first?
Well, yeah, do your damage first.
Okay, I don't remember what it is, so I am just going to do it on here because I don't remember what it is. All right, that is 20 points of damage.
And 3 of that is fire.
1 fire. 1 is fire.
Oh, yeah, I can't read apparently.
Well, no. It definitely says 10, 5, and 1, but 20 points of damage, which is strange, but...
Yeah, no, 10, 5, and then plus 4, and then 1. So that's 20.
Gotcha, plus 4. Okay. Yeah, so still one fire damage.
Yep. Okay, so... Not all of that goes through. That's for sure.
Now I'm gonna knock him over. Sweep the legs. Oh, it shot out of... There we go. Ooh, 16. Plus 14 for a 30. To trip him.
That's against his reflex. That is a trip. He is a trip.
Nice. Whoosh. And the chains wrap around his feet and he clunk clunks and falls over into the blood.
He is now a prone, which makes him off guard.
Goop. He's all in the of goop. My turns.
All right, Malleus, Buckaroo Banzai, you're up.
Okay, so normally I'm a real piece of shit about having my weapon out and arguing about it, but I explicitly said I was holding Mr. Griffey in one hand and tracking this thing, and Billiam didn't fucking say anything. It just opened the door. So I think it's safe to say I don't have my weapon out. So I will take my free action and drop Mr. Griffey and look at Asmordred and be like, pick that up, please. And then I am going to pull my hammer out with one action. And then I am going to take my second action to move into the room next to Zebarbazoo and Billiam. Actually, can I take it? No, that's 25 feet. That'd be a second action. So this is as far as I can move into here. And I will take my last action to just take a swing at this guy. So let's go ahead.
He's on the ground. Get him.
I rolled an 11 plus 15 for a 26.
All right. So a couple things are going to happen. You said that's at the Barbazoo?
Yes.
Okay. So first of all, as soon as you drop Mr. Griffey, the spell locate goes away because it is a sustained spell.
Oh, great.
And you cannot cast it again today. Hooray.
Thanks, Billiam.
I didn't tell you to drop the doll.
And second of all, that is a hit. Not a crit, but a hit. It's at a 30, yeah. Right?
No, I said it was a 26.
Oh, yeah, that's still a hit. Not a crit.
All right, hell yeah. I'm just going to roll damage and boundary instead of pulling my dice out, which I normally regret. Not bad. It's 17 points of damage with Zimal.
With Zimal?
With Zimal.
All right, again, not all of that goes through.
Shit. Anybody got any silver?
I will in just a moment.
Yeah.
I have silver sheen.
We do.
I picked up four of them while we were in town.
Nice. And that is all of your actions then?
Yep, that was my free action. Drop the doll, one action grab the hammer, one action move in, one action attack.
All right. Tacitus.
Baby, all right, you already know what I'm going to do. Drawing my rapier. Action two, drawing my book. Action three, exploit vulnerability on the big devil with the axe.
Big devil with the axe.
All right, give me that roll.
Okay, here we go. Skadoosh. Yeah, 18 for 32.
That is a crit.
Okay.
So
exploit vulnerability.
You're going to add a weakness of 5. So you're going to get to deal 5 extra damage.
Okay. Cool.
It is weak to good.
Good. We have to defeat it with the power of friendship. With truth, justice, and the American way.
And also you get to use that as the knowledge check on this thing. They're the foot soldiers of Hell's Armies. This weapon that he's got is pretty freaking dangerous. It applies a really nasty bleed if he hits you with it. And I will say two of his saves are low. His high save is 4, though.
Okay. You said that it leads armies. Did you say that?
Okay. They're the foot soldiers of Hell's Armies.
Oh, foot soldiers of armies. Okay, I was going to ask if like the bug baby things get a bonus like by being near it, if it were like a commander or something. But
that'd be too cool, wouldn't it?
It would be really cool. Yeah. All right, I'm satisfied.
Alrighty then. So up next is this goob on the ground.
Ground goob.
Ground goob. So what are we going to do here? We're on the ground. Man, he is in a rough spot, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. We can both hit him if he gets up.
Right. Okay, so I think he's going to use one action to crawl to there.
That still provokes.
A crawl?
It's a move action, right?
Oh, yeah, crawl, that's right, because it's a step. Oh, yeah, it's not like a step. I forgot about that. Yeah, that's stupid. Why would I freaking do that? Why did I think that would work?
Goofy
Why did I think
goober.
That would work?
It doesn't work.
God damn it.
No.
Gross. All right, so I think I know what I'm going to do. This sucks, but here we go. First action, it is going to attack old Billiam with the glaive.
Ooh.
So here comes a strike. Fingers crossed. It's not garbage. Oh, it's not freaking great. It's a 25.
That is a hit.
Hot. Did you apply the minus 2 Damn. For being prone?
I did. Yeah. I did. All right. Ouch. So here's your damage, first of all. Garbage damage. 13 points of damage.
Yay.
You also have a 2d6 bleed.
Oh.
Sorry, this is a 1d6 bleed. Sorry about that. It's a 1d6 bleed. And the DC flat check on this is actually 20, not 15.
Boo.
So there you go. That's been added to you. And as a free action, I can use reposition whenever I hit somebody with a glaive strike. And I can yoink you back. I can yoink you in a direction, 5 feet in any direction.
What a
And I'm
dick.
Gonna yoink you back 5 feet. Second action, I'm gonna attempt to do another glaive strike, but this time it's gonna be on Malleus.
Reach, baby.
Right? I know.
It's pretty nice. Wait,
it is. Here it comes. Let's see if I can roll okay. 28 to hit. Holy crap.
That is a hit.
That is a hit. But I do want to share something me and Jake have been talking about, and I mentioned it on the Discord. I have decided that I'm no longer going to make Malleus take bleed damage.
Yeah.
Outside
that
of
makes
that.
Sense.
Wow.
Bold choice, I know.
Outside of that.
Giving in.
You are going to take 18 points of damage. It does not cause a bleed. And then it's going to use another triggered action to reposition you back. 5 feet. And for its final action, it's going to stand up, thus removing the prone and off guard position or effects. Up next is the other bug baby boy. He's going to yoink out of existence and then do something else in secret that you cannot see. And as Mordrin, you're up.
All right. I guess I shall retrieve Mr. Griffey. And from here, are those either of those guys within 30 feet of me?
Your bug babies? I don't know. Let's see. I mean, oh, yeah, because you have, like, motion sense, right?
Correct.
Let me see. Let me measure. I'm actually not sure. Why can't I just freaking... There we go. One of them is within 30 feet of you. But it's an motion sense is imprecise, right. Though, right? Or correct. Is it precise? Okay, yeah.
No, it's imprecise.
Cool. Yes, one of them is within 30 feet.
All right, I'm going to throw a junk bomb at the Barbazoo.
All righty.
Let's see. That is a 16. Is that a critical failure?
Oh, no, it's just a failure.
Okay, so he's going to take 4 points of damage, and I'm going to direct that because I have directional bombs for a cone that kind of is should start at his square. Why? I didn't want to start there. There we go. Oh, come on, you. No. Anyways, I think you see what I'm trying to go for.
Yeah, I see what you're doing.
So if one of them, I obviously know that it's in there. If the other one happens to be in there, they're just both going to take 4 points of slashing damage.
Okay. It doesn't appear that anything happened to the Barbazoo. Just so you are aware. And is that the end of your turn? Uh-oh, did we lose me? Am I gone?
No.
Okay. Now, I'm going to move up here to directly behind Billiam and adjacent to Malleus.
Excellent. All right.
So and that is my turn.
You're all, you know, watching this thing fight back from the ground. Its two buddies just disappeared. And you start to hear a very strange squeaking noise. Sounds like it's coming from all around you. When crawling out from holes you didn't even see exist. And running it down the hallways is a swarm of infected rats bearing down on you.
I was right. We'll
find out what that means when we come back next week.
I was right.
What the fuck?
Tacitus was right to doubt the boss.
Roll for Intent uses trademarks and our copyrights owned by Paizo Inc. Used under Paizo's community use policy. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. Roll for Intent is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit Paizo.com. Original characters and storylines are the property of Roman Neville Productions. Music for this podcast was provided by Michael Gelfie, Flip Melvin, and Tabletop Audio. Visit our website at RollForIntent.com. Any questions or suggestions? Email us at mailroom@RollForIntent.com. Thank you for listening.